All the references in the Old Testament to a blessed nation and blessed people and all that, normally it's talking to God's earthly chosen people, Israel and the Jews, but you cannot read the Bible, you cannot read that Old Testament and miss the parallel between the way God blessed Israel and the way He's blessed America. There is a definite parallel there. I don't believe all these scriptures definitely refer to America. I believe they're God's promises to Israel, but He done a lot of things God did for Israel, He did for America. And I want to tell you something. America has been blessed more as far as material things than any other nation that's ever been. So this morning we're going to look at a great verse of scripture in Psalm 33 and verse 12. Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His inheritance. Let's read that again. Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord. Capital L, the Lord in heaven, the Creator of all. Many nations have other gods. The Bible said the nation that will be blessed is the one that has the Lord for its God. I want to preach to you just a few minutes on the subject. What made America great? What has made America great? Regardless of what the secular news media and the popular gossip and talk shows and things like that would have you to believe, I know, and we know as Christians, what made America great. It wasn't an accident. It was not an accident. The Bible said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I believe, as sure as I'm standing here this morning, that God looked down, He saw a group of people who sincerely wanted to serve Him, who wanted to honor Him. You know, they didn't start arriving in here strong till early 1600s. And just in a few years, we're already sending missionaries to other countries to convert the heathen to Christianity. To Christianity, brother. God blessed America because of the men who came to America. I ain't saying they were all saved or anything like that, but the big majority of them knew that there was one God, and He was the God of this Bible, and they knew if you followed Him and worshiped Him in spirit and truth, that you would be blessed spiritually, materially, physically, and every other way. They believed the Bible. I know that we're living in a generation in whom the professors in our university, the teachers in many of our schools, have been trained to take God and out of our thinking, out of our thoughts, out of our philosophy. And to be honest with you this morning, there is a group at work this morning doing everything in their power to rid America of its godly heritage. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's two things that made America great this morning. One of them was that our fathers founded this thing on the principles of the Word of God. And the other thing is preaching the 1611 King James Bible. That's what built this country. You hear a lot of talk about the Pony Express. And it was a short-lived kind of, that was a neat little thing. I think the Pony Express was a good thing. They, on them little horses, man, them guys' job was to deliver that mail at all costs. They would run one till it dropped, get on another one, run it till it dropped. But about that same time, there was another group of men riding around on horses. We call them circuit riding preachers. And if you want to know why these hills and mountains are filled with little churches down every road you go down, it's because there was a bunch of old leather-lunged preachers 200 years ago who rode all over these hillsides on horseback, little communities, getting everybody together and just preaching the devil out of them. And that's why we live in what we call the Bible Belt. I tell you something this morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's laughed at. It's made fun of. People think it's a joke. You know what they call us now? Call us behind times. They say in Atlanta, and they say in New York City, and they say, oh, those crazy people in the Bible Belt, they are so far behind. They're not up with the times. I was going through Atlanta the other night, and it said, Atlanta, big sign, because they're going to have a Olympics next year. It says, Atlanta welcomes the world. I said, amen to that. Amen to that. Atlanta welcomes the world. You know what we ought to do? We ought to put up a sign that says, Marion does not welcome the world. Most of them do. But I tell you, we don't need what this world has to offer. That's what's wrong with this world this morning. We've gone away from what God said in this book, and that's if our nation has a downfall, that'll be the cause of it. America is not good because she is great. America is great because she was good. And when America ceases to be good, America ceases to be great. I believe this morning that God has blessed America because men believe this Bible from cover to cover. Listen to this. Have you ever read the Mayflower Compact? I know that they're telling you in the secular world, in universities now, they say, well, our fathers, some of them, they believe they were heathen and they were this and that. You ever read the Mayflower Compact? It starts out like this. Here's the first words. Quote, every school child ought to be taught this. Every college student ought to be taught this. Kids we got here this morning in college somewhere, raise your hand. College somewhere. They'll, man, this is a dumb bunch here, ain't it? Well, there's a three or four. Let's say have been. Raise your hand. Oh, there you go. That's better. Now, did you ever hear this quoted in a secular college? Quote, here's your secular school teacher. He stands up. He's been out living like the devil all weekend. He says, my job is to teach these young people American history. Today, boys and girls, we shall learn the Mayflower Compact. The Mayflower Compact says this, quote, in the name of God, amen. First word. In the name of God, amen. Can't you see a homosexual professor getting up in class and saying, all right, boys and girls, in the name of God, amen. It ain't going to happen, is it? He's going to say, the world we live in is changing. We must realize that in the face in the future. Let's talk about our history, man. Let's talk about what got us here to where we are. We whose names underwritten, the loyal subjects, I'm talking about King James, by the grace of God of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, defender of the faith, and so forth and so on. Quote, have undertaken, here's why they wrote the Mayflower Compact. We have undertaken for two things. Number one, for the glory of God. Number two, the advancement of the Christian faith. That's why we came to America. We came here for two reasons, thou dread sovereign King James. We came here for two reasons. Number one, for the glory of God Almighty. And number two, to the advancement of the Christian faith. Every boy and girl needs to be taught that. Why? You say, you're just saying that because you're a Christian. No, I'm saying that because that is a historical fact. If we teach history, we should teach historical facts. That is a historical fact. It said, for the better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid. That means get the word out, brother. That means get the gospel to the ends of the world. That's why we are here. You know what they did in 1968? That's not been that long ago. In 1968, there was a federal law that said you would receive up to a year imprisonment for a public burning of the American flag. Do you think things hadn't changed since the 60s? We're living in the 90s now, and there's a big debate going on about that right now. You know, it blows my mind. I'll guarantee you men that were in the armed services, you men who have been shot, you men who have been wounded for this nation, you wouldn't have to bring it to a vote, would you? If they took this thing right here and said, well, we're free. Let's take a match and set it to it. You know, it's just a piece of cloth. No, it's not what that thing is. It's what it represents. I think it's a shame and a disgrace to God and ourselves that we would allow public, private, or anything, desecration of the flag. I like what one old preacher said. He said, every time I see one of them hippies with a flag sewed on the rear of his britches, he said, I want to get behind him and come like this and have a flag raising. He said, I want to get it up. He said, that's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that we would disrespect our nation that way. I want to tell you this morning, there is no excuse for that kind of disrespect for the American flag. Amen. Hey, listen, our fathers and granddaddies died so that we could have freedom to worship God underneath that flag. And it's a disgrace to publicly burn that thing. Shouldn't even be a vote on it. There's nothing to vote about. What made America? Our fathers believed in a cause. John Quincy Adams said this, so great is my veneration of the Bible that the sooner my children begin to read it, the more respectable members of society they will become. Andrew Jackson said, quote, that book right there. He wasn't talking about the Living Bible either. That book is the rock on which our republic rests. Abraham Lincoln said, quote, the Bible is the best gift that God ever gave to man. You heard the president lately say anything like that? Has anybody here heard a president get on TV lately in one of her speeches and say, the Bible is the best gift that God has ever given to man? I ain't heard her say that ever. We better hurry up and say it because time is running out. Amen? Thank God. But I want to tell you this morning, that's what made America great. Now look up. It's not time to pray yet. I'll tell you when it's time to pray. I said a message on the radio this morning that I believe some people vote for the devil if he's a Democrat. I'm going to look and see who's got a sour look on their face. Don't put fake smiles on me either. They don't work. You're like, if. Oh, you've been hanging out with the wrong crowd. That's your problem. Listen, I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, man. You ought to just vote for what's right. All you Christians believe Republican. Hey, if a Republican's wrong, he's wrong. Don't fool with him. If a Democrat's right, he's right. Fool with him. I'm telling you, what ought to concern us is what's right. You say, I never thought a preacher should mention politics. That shows how ignorant you are of the issues of our day. And the Bible, by the way. I want to tell you this morning, my friends, listen, the new morality came in. Our nation has gone downhill ever since. You know what Abraham Lincoln said? Abraham Lincoln said, I like to hear a preacher preach like he's fighting a swarm of bees. The president used to think. The president liked to hear preachers preach like they were fighting a swarm of bees. This is not the way a man fights a swarm of bees. He don't come in like this. If there was a swarm of bees, my microphone's under here somewhere. Dearly beloved, it seems that my knee has invaded the feeble shrine of these precious creatures under the pulpit. And it seems to be about 200 centimeters across the hive. Thousands of the precious creatures are now beginning to crawl up and down my legs. I feel, ladies and gentlemen, lest I be stung, that I should back up from the position in which I am standing. That's the way they do it nowadays. Abraham Lincoln said, now, come on now, man. What if a swarm of bees come out from under here this morning? I mean one of them big, big, gray hornet's nests like them old Church of God women wear their hair like that. I'm talking one of these big ones underneath here. You know, they say it's a sin to cut it so it won't be up here and then wire it all up here so it looks like a boy. That's crazy. But anyway, what if I stuck my knee up in here and all of a sudden these big long hornets, that long. And you know, they're just looking for something to sting. Their rear end goes like that. You ever seen them? When they're just sitting around for no reason at all, it just says, I'll find you. I'll get you. Where are you, you human being? And it does like that. Now, if a bunch of them come out and got on my leg, I'm telling you what, buddy, I wouldn't say, now, ladies, but what? That's the way I'd be doing, just like that. Abraham Lincoln said that's the way a man ought to preach. That was the president of the United States said a man should preach that way. Preacher do like that. Nowadays, people say, oh, can't he control his emotions? What's wrong with him? That's the way the president used to want to hear preaching. You reckon the president we have now, preacher preaches like that? Are you crazy? Oh, man, if they went into a church and God got them said, you're going to hell! You better get set! They couldn't handle that, could they? I'll tell you, that's what made America great. What made America great this morning was old-fashioned Bible-believing, Bible-thumping people screaming to the top of their lungs about God and about heaven and about hell. Listen, thank God this morning for our heritage. Thank God. Don't let go of it. You visiting churches here this morning, don't you let this world quieten down your shout. Don't you let them pour old water on you. We're a dying bunch, brother. There's not many of us left in this old world who still believe the book where it says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, like as over there a while ago, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. You better not let that go. That's what made America great. Boy, years ago, them old preachers would get up and they'd stomp their foot and hit the pulpit and go, "Thou shalt not steal." Whew. Everybody said, "Man, I'm going to fall in hell any second now if I don't get up there and get saved." That'll make America great. You know what the word preach means? It means to proclaim loudly, strongly, or to urge. It means to lift up your voice like a trumpet. Nowadays, they want you to speak. They want you to rap. Anything but preach. Anything but preach. Man, I'll tell you what, we need some preachers that are on fire that'll stand in our pulpits and once again, without, listen, don't be job scared. Don't be afraid you're going to lose your or offend somebody. You know what? You'll never in the world satisfy ever by congregation preachers. You might as well just get with God and get what God has you to give and get up and just deliver your soul and let the chips fall where they will and let God take care of it. The devil's got on me many a time. He said, "Now, you was too hard on this one. So-and-so ain't going to come back." And they come up the next night and say, "Preacher, I really needed that. That's the best sermon I've heard in a long time." The truth is, people really want the truth. A lot of them don't. And if they don't, you're never going to satisfy them no way. You might as well just let her rip, man. And I'll tell you what, boy, just preaching's not as easy as it looks, too, you know. A lot of you people that are preacher experts, you ought to try it sometime. It's not always, people say, "Brother Danny, why don't you just preach?" Man, you know, sometimes when I'm preaching, it feels like there's a glass set thick between me and you. And it feels like I'm just hitting my head on it, and you're over there, and I'm going, "Hey, hey," and you can't hear me. That's the way I feel. And then other times, I can just say one word, and it's just like a bomb just goes, boom, falls on the whole crowd. I don't understand that. If it's demons, I don't know if it's happening. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I know the more you pray, the less it feels like that glass is there. I know that. But I'll tell you one thing, brother. It ought to just let the word go out. Let it go out. That's what made America great. Boys and girls getting up in the morning, mom and dad getting the family ready, coming along, sitting on the church pew, putting in Sunday school, saying, "All right, preacher, let us have it. Tell us about it." And boy, listen, these young guys nowadays, they need to get it from God, get in there, get a message from the Lord, get up and just let it rip. I heard about this guy. He just got out of seminary. And he had gone up to preach one of his first sermons. And he got to preaching, and he wanted to make sure he's doing everything right. And you got to forget about that, because you won't. And instead of worrying about what he's saying, he's worrying if he's everything right. And he lost his train of thought, and he's preaching on the coming of the Lord. And he couldn't remember. He just went blank, nothing to say. And boy, when you get like that, it gets scary. And he was just a young preacher, and he remembered back in school. He said, "In school, they taught me that if you ever forget what you want to say, just back up and repeat that last phrase that you done just got through saying. And then by the time you do that, maybe you'll remember, you know, where you're at, and the Lord will give you something and you'll keep on going." And he's preaching on the coming of the Lord. And so his mind went blank. And he said, "Behold, I come quickly, says the Lord." And his mind went blank. He could not remember. I mean, he just, like that. So he kind of got scared, and he said, "Well, I'll say it again." And he raised his hand and he said, "Behold, come quickly, saith the Lord." And he was blank, couldn't think of nothing, didn't know anything to say. He went, "Oh, my soul. Well, I'll do it with emphasis." So he come around the pulpit this way. He was really going to say it with emphasis. He swung his leg around. He said, "Behold, I come quickly." And he swung out like that. And when he did, he lost his balance, tripped over the flowers. And he fell right on the front pew into the lap of this big lady who was sitting on the front seat. She had him just like this, and he was saying, excuse me, ma'am, I'm getting down." And she said, "That's all right, young man. You told me three times you was a man," and I didn't listen. I said that to say this, brother. Do you know a lot of time, brother, have you ever been one of them churches where you thought the preacher was going to come and jump in your lap? Man, some never even been to a church where the preacher runs around screaming hard. Man, I've been in them where you scared to sit near the front. I know some evangelists, preachers. You better have your steel armor on if you go here. Man, they'll slap you, knock you, spit all over you. I've seen them beat them on the leg. That's good. Hey, man, we need some old preacher just to get up and say, "Hey, you're wicked, man. We need to get right. We need to straighten up. We need to get right with God." That's what made America great. Thank God we still, brother, our nation's not where it ought to be this morning, but hallelujah, we still have the freedom to stand up and say this is the Word of God and Jesus is the Savior and there's a hell and there's a heaven and He's coming back soon. Repent and get right with God. We still have that. Let's use it while we got a chance. They're trying their best to rid us of it. I don't understand why all these people don't just move somewhere. Like Jane Fonda. I don't see why she don't just go live in Vietnam or somewhere. Or some one of these places. Man, just go live there. If you don't like America, leave it. Amen? Now, if you're a red-blooded American, you'll agree with that. But if you're one of these brainwashed communists that watches TV shows all day long, it's going to bother you. They said the ACLU, which is an organization the devil uses to stand against anything that's right, was fussing. They're getting sued every year now, trying to get Christmas ornaments removed from public places that have anything to do with the Lord. One of them atheists said something like that. Says, "Oh, those Christians are sticking their nose in everything. Now they're even trying to get in Christmas." That's smart, boy. That is genius. And they was fighting it, and they was trying to get the nativity scenes, the baby Jesus, Mary, wise men, all that took off the courthouse lawn in a lot of places. They don't want crosses. And see, it's a part of our heritage, folks. I mean, that's just America. If you don't want to see a cross, go live somewhere where they put up boo statues. It should never be that the minority runs a whole country. This thing's gone crazy. But anyway, they're fussing about it. And they're supposed to get the nativity scenes off. We don't want the white. You can have lights. You can have Santa Claus. You can have all that. But no manger scene. And the mayor of, I think it's Pawtucket, Rhode Island, got on the radio or TV talk show. And he said an amazing statement. He said, perhaps the reason that the ACLU is trying to remove all the nativity scenes from our courthouse lawns is that probably if one searched the organization of the ACLU, one would not find three wise men nor a virgin. Amen. That's about it right there. That's the nail on the head there. But I like what Billy Sunday said, or he used to talk, he said, "I'll fight till hell freezes over." Uncle Bud Robinson said, he said, "I'm going to fight the devil as long as I've got fists." He said, "I'm going to kick him as long as I've got feet." He said, "I'm going to bite him as long as I've got teeth. And when I get old and I can't hit him no more, my feet won't swing out and I ain't got no teeth, I'm going to gum him till I die." That's what kind of preachers we need in this generation. That's what made America great. It's not enough that we know that God's in our midst. Lost sinners, when they walk in our churches, need to know that God's in our midst. Christians get together all the time in dead service and say, "Well, we're two or three together. He's in them." We know He's there. But the question is, do the lost people know He's there when they walk in? There's the test. What made America great? I was thinking about our church here, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to close. You know, about half where you're sitting here this morning used to be a feed store. They sold fertilizer and grass seed and stuff like that. And we bought it and tore it down. And then about the auditorium comes all the way back here now. It used to be about three-fourths of where that old store building was. And out in here, we got to digging. There's all kind of old junk in the ground out here, old black stuff. And you know what I found out? I found out that back in the 30s and 40s, all back in this area in the parking lot, right in here where we are this morning, there used to be a tannery. They used to tan hides. That's what this place is for. I heard that and I said, "Well, hallelujah." I said, "This used to be a place to tan hides." And the Lord just said, "Now right there is where I want that little preacher and that church to carry on that issue." So that's what we meet here. This is a spiritual tanning booth where you can just come in and get blistered every Sunday. That's what made America great. I love to go down and meet. I don't know what it is. I love for a preacher just to bless me out. What is it that makes us Christians like it? That's what made us great. Because we know deep down inside that it'll help us. And that we'll get closer to God. And that we'll come out on top in the long run at the judgment seat of Christ. Isn't that right? Listen, don't let them steal it from us. Don't let them snuff your shout out. You visiting churches, don't let them. You say, well, in our community, I know y'all from New York, man. I know it's very rare. It's rare, especially up in Rochester, around in there. It's rare to find people who really just emotionally worship. Just worship God like the Bible says to anyway. And God will bless you. And God will bless you for it. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. I don't know who's here this morning. But I do know this. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one's moving. I know that there's probably somebody here that's got away from God. And you're just like our nation. There was a time when you really worshiped God and honored God. But now it seems like the devil's put your shout out. Listen, the first camp don't start till tomorrow, but it wouldn't hurt to go ahead and make some things right this morning. Just this little snuff service. Visitor, church member, wherever you're from, God is dealing with your heart. You need to make something right with God. You feel free to come. Feel free to come. Amen. Amen. That's right. Others need to come this morning. Say, preacher, you described me to it. I used to be on fire for God. Now I want God to do something in my life. Some are coming this morning. We're going to sing in just a moment. Some are coming. Others need to come. There's some of you men, pray with these fellows. Amen. God may be speaking to your heart. Father, do what ought to be done in our souls this morning. God, help us as Americans to turn back to you with all of our heart. Lord, we know our nation's backslid. We know that wickedness seems like it just almost took over. But I pray, God, that you'd use us and other churches like this to maybe provide that spark, be a witness to this nation in these last days. Do it, Lord, for Jesus' sake. We'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing. Let's sing. If you need to come this morning, get your heart right with God. You feel free to come right now. Sing it.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou be
this morning, determine in your heart to be a better Christian first, a citizen of America, to your country, a church member. Make it a better place. Don't add to the problems we've got. Do something about it. I believe the greatest, if there is any hope for our nation, is just what we've got in here this morning. Soul winning, people winning people to God, reaching the lost. That's it. That's all hope we got. Honoring God and doing it. No politician will ever save this nation. No Democratic Party or Republican Party will ever save this nation. They can't do it. They have people just like us. It's going to take God. Don't forget to pray for the family of Sister Dot Rumfeld, who lost her son Randy in a car accident yesterday morning, or Friday morning. Pray that God will touch them, be with them. They'll be at the Westmoreland Funeral Home at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Appreciate some of the ladies bringing food. And helping with the family. The funeral will be here tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. We'll meet back this evening. The youth choir will be singing tonight. The Sadler family will be here. Brother McGahee will be preaching. This is going to be a big 4th of July celebration. Bring the family. Call up some friends. If you want to, there ain't no telling now what's going to happen tonight. It might be what. But you won't go to sleep. So Be careful this evening. Get some rest. Come back to the service this evening at 7 o'clock. God bless you.